From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty with the news on this day in Maine, Thursday, June 13th, 2019.
This Day in Maine is made possible by listeners like you and by Red Zone Wireless, providing a local alternative for broadband throughout Maine. Learn more at redzonewireless.com.
Democratic Party activist and former candidate for governor Betsy Sweet is seeking her party's nomination for the U.S. Senate seat held by Republican Susan Collins. Sweet is first to enter a race that's likely to draw more Democrats and probably some Republicans as well.
We need a representative in Washington who is on our side. I think Susan Collins at one time was that, but I think she has forgotten who she is and who she represents.
Sweet says Collins is now more concerned with pleasing national Republican leaders, including President Trump. She says Collins' support for Trump judicial nominees, including Brett Kavanaugh, to the Supreme Court, shows she is out of touch with her constituents. A bill requiring public and private insurance companies to cover abortion is now law in Maine. Democratic Governor Janet Mills signed it today after the Maine Senate and House of Representatives finalized their procedural votes in favor of the measure yesterday. The approval of the bill comes after the state faced a lawsuit over its restrictions on abortion providers. It's the second bill passed recently by the legislature to open up abortion access. Mills signed a bill Monday to allow medical professionals who are not doctors to perform the procedure. And a bill that would limit Central Maine Power's availability to seize land for its proposed 145-mile transmission project has failed, following a veto by Governor Mills. Steve Missler has more.
The House voted 79-64 to override the governor's veto, well short of the two-thirds support needed to keep the bill alive. The proposal would have changed state law that allows utilities to seize private land and bypass municipal governments for infrastructure projects. Supporters argued that the law should be changed because the CMP transmission line is intended to help Massachusetts meet its renewable energy goals and not directly benefit Maine electricity customers. Mills said in her veto message that the bill would set a bad precedent and give towns disproportionate power over utility projects. The bill might not have ultimately affected the CMP project because the utility has rights to the entire corridor, as currently proposed. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Steve Missler.
Looking at the weather tonight, we'll have rain turning to drizzle with some areas of fog. Lows overnight in the mid-40s to the low 50s. Tomorrow mostly cloudy with afternoon showers in the north and mountains, otherwise partly sunny with a few late showers and highs in the mid-60s to the low 70s. And on Saturday, mostly cloudy north with afternoon showers, otherwise partly sunny, highs in the mid-60s to low 80s north to interior south. About 140 asylum seekers slept on cots in the Portland Expo building last night, the first night the building was open to the hundreds of new arrivals from the southern U.S. border over the past 3 days. More are expected soon. Robbie Feinberg takes us inside the building and shares the story of one family who arrived earlier this week.
By Thursday afternoon, the Portland Expo building had been transformed from a sports arena into a makeshift shelter. Hundreds of cots lined the floor, next to rows of tables and chairs. Volunteers offered food and health supplies. Some translated and created arts and crafts projects with the young children running across the hardwood floor.
I need like 6 pieces of paper.
Huh?
Mucho paper.
Uh-huh.
We have a whole stack.
City officials say about 140 people stayed in the expo on Wednesday night, most having come by bus from Texas. The influx began after a change in federal U.S. border policy, city officials say, sending asylum seekers directly to cities like Portland without beginning the application process, making them ineligible to receive general assistance. The increase has overwhelmed city services. And on Wednesday, officials said they expect more buses to arrive by the end of the day. Inside the expo center, two of those asylum seekers, named Philippe and Mireille, sit with their four young children close to a makeshift bed made of several cots pushed together. Towels and bags are stacked on top. The family arrived in Portland, Mireille says, after a nearly five-month journey from their home country, the Democratic Republic of Congo. Through a translator, she says the family was forced to flee violence from civil war in their home country. They flew to Ecuador, then walked through many countries to reach the United States.
We
spent 5 days with no food for the children at all.
Who
And all the food we had brought was finished.
But Philippe says they pushed themselves to keep going, drinking bits of juice to maintain their energy. They'd carry the children on their backs, he says, traverse rivers, and walk along teetering paths on the mountains of Panama.
Je peux pas diriger quelqu'un pour venir.
I can't advise anyone to come.
Moi, j'ai pris la grâce à l'éternel Dieu.
I just thank the eternal God for the grace to get me
here.
And when they finally reached the southern border of the United States, Philippe says they waited more than 2 months to enter. After the months of walking, the waiting, and a bus ride from San Antonio, they finally arrived in Portland on Tuesday. And despite sleeping on a cot in an emergency shelter, Philippe describes his new situation as a paradise. He hopes to work as a driver, like he did in his home country.
I was thinking, what could I do to, you know, what could I wish for in life? And this is what I've wished for.
Je vous remercie en plus.
I really thank you so much.
In recent days, many of Maine's immigrant advocacy groups have worked together with the city to offer volunteers and supplies to the hundreds of asylum seekers. Mufalo Chitam, the executive director of the Maine Immigrants' Rights Coalition, says her group and others have talked with the new arrivals to assess their needs and have helped organize the many people across the city who've offered to volunteer and assist.
You know, we're just asking for funds, you know, because the next 48 hours are unknown as we try to create the list of the needs.
City officials have also opened a donation text line, which they say has brought in about $63,000 from about 700 donors. On Friday afternoon, Governor Janet Mills is set to meet with Portland city leaders to discuss a more comprehensive response to the situation. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Robbie Feinberg.
And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org and join us tomorrow on Maine Calling at 1 o'clock for a discussion with author and social scientist Nicholas Christakis about whether human beings are inherently good. I'm Nora Flaherty.